Brandon and Paul, joined by Mike DeLille this morning, of course, Council Chief. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Sirs.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for coming in. You're in this morning to discuss housing. You had sent me a message last night, I guess following the reports that we aired on K103.7. And we're curious as to, you know, what the council has to say in regards to this. This is the first live interview that's being done on this subject.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Again, yes, you're correct. It's based on our conversation last night and our reaction, if you will, to not only the report, but some of the other reactions in community, some of the misinformation, we'll say at this point, that has been rampant on Facebook. We want to correct some of those misconceptions, if you will, and predominantly based on the report, we think that there was misinformation here as well.
Okay. I'm not going to touch on that now for very specific reasons. My first question to you is, who has the housing portfolio at the moment? Because I know it was Martin LeBourne before, he got voted out. So who's in charge of the housing portfolio?
Right now, Gina has stepped in as interim. Portfolios are not yet distributed. We're looking at late August, if you will, at this point at its earliest. There's some internal issues that we're dealing with, obviously not just in housing, but reconstruction of portfolio team, if you will. But Gina is the person, the go-to person at this point from Chief and Council.
Okay, that begs the question as to why you are the go-to person here this morning.
She wasn't there yesterday. This was a late update. I hadn't heard, and I think the majority of council hadn't heard the report at either 12 or 1 o'clock and then repeated later on in the day. We got an update from Alana Rice in terms of that and a lot of the Facebook banter that had happened subsequent to that. So brief discussion, and council felt that somebody needed to say something, and you're looking at him.
You got elected. For the second time.
Back in July 7th, yeah. But yesterday afternoon, they felt, because I brought it up saying we need to correct some of this misinformation out there, they said, well, go ahead, Mike, do it. So I'm here.
Okay. Now to answer questions. Well, first, let's give you the opportunity. What's on your mind?
Well, I think the first thing that needs to be stated is some of the, we can call it rumor and conjecture based on the interview that you conducted yesterday, saying that it appears that people will be either evicted or held to pay double, if you will, on the rents that they had paid, whether they're mortgage or rental or so on, through the interview with Paula Paul. That is not true. We're not at that stage yet. Obviously, there's an internal investigation. Can't comment too much on that. Obviously, can't comment on the criminal element of the complaint we've put into the peacekeepers. No charges have been laid yet. But again, obviously no comment there. But we feel that it was preemptive to say something like that. And also for a concerned community member who has had obvious issues with the housing issue at this point, scandal as you called it, And we're not trying to dissipate from that or get away from it. We understand that this is embarrassing, it's big, and it's under investigation. So we just feel that that initial report and the words that were used were inaccurate.
Okay. So let's, in your words, make them accurate. I mean, if you're coming in here to make them accurate, how accurate can you make them? How many people are involved?
We don't know that. Like I said, the investigation is ongoing. I can't really comment too much, but I can tell you that much, and I can tell the community that much. There will be full transparency once it's concluded. I can also say that even though Paul Rice had said at the beginning, we're talking about a 30-day-plus process.
It's been longer.
It's sure. Deeper than that, absolutely. So to think that it was the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, absolutely, but we really don't know the breadth and width of this thing at this point. But we're just saying that the people that have been victimized by this circumstance, that's why that letter went out 2 weeks ago to everybody by registered mail to say, come in. We want to talk to you. We want to understand your situation, because they're all different. And no one has said at this point, you're on the hook. And part of that was within the report yesterday.
Okay, so, you know, we're looking at this, and there hasn't been a lot that has come forward for legal reasons, and I think as reporters, we understand what can and cannot be said. We're just wondering why it's taken the MCK so long to come forward publicly and speak live, or even a sit-down interview like this, because since this all began, we have not had that opportunity.
Well, again, like you said, legal reasons as well, and there could be other legal ramifications coming back toward MCK, well, depending what is said. And that's why the questions are being asked for by not only you, but any other media in writing. So we can, and Paul can, as the spokesperson, you know, point person, if you will, formulate an answer and ensure that it's within legal context, administrative context, and everything else. So we don't overstep what we're supposed to be saying publicly. And I understand that it's frustrating, not only to you, not only to other forms of media, community members, and especially members, the people that have been implicated. Absolutely. No, we understand that. And like I said, I read not all, but some of those comments, I'll call them, on Facebook yesterday.
They can't read them all because there's too many coming in.
Continuously. Yeah, no, I understand that. And that's why we felt that something needed to be said. You know, this isn't a cover-up. This isn't trying to be hidden. This, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's being called scandalous. Well, then, yes, we're embarrassed by what's happened, and we're taking measure. And I can say in confidence to you, to anybody else, and in the community that I'm happy with the steps that are being taken to ensure that, number one, it gets rectified, and number two, that it never happens again in any way, shape, or form, in any part of the operation of MCK.
You've been back a month.
Yes.
Right, since you got elected back after 3 years away from council. Has this been the thing that's dominated your agenda mostly since you've been back, this housing scandal?
Absolutely not. We've got a update from all of the parties involved internally, obviously operations and administration, within the first week. So that week of July 9th, I think it was, first day of work was the 10th, I think. So it might have been the second day, that Wednesday. And since then, there really hasn't been formal updates. We've seen the press releases that go out. We did ask for as much information as possible coming to the table as it continues to unfold, but it's client attorney privilege. And I know people don't like to hear that, but that's the case based on the formal legal complaint.
As journalists, we understand that. And you know, we're going to push and ask all the questions.
Absolutely.
Which is why we continue to, not for K103, not for the Eastern Door, not for Yiddiwaze, it's for the community of Gatnawaga. And so
understood.
I'm you know, we're wondering, how deep does this investigation go? Obviously, it's been publicly admitted by the MCK that it goes into the housing department, which is under review, and Chief Financial Officer Paul Rice has taken over that department on an interim basis and overseeing it. There are, what, by my count, three people who are, one has been let go, and two others who are on sick leave from that department or affiliated with it. What other departments does this hit as well?
Well, I think there, I know, I don't think that there's a complete financial review taking a look at any part of the Mohawk Council of Gunawagi operations that has payments made to it, whether they be in cash, check, Interact, what have you, and a new system will be put in place somewhere down the road. But first and foremost, we have to take care of the housing department issue and so on. It's been totally reconfigured, if you will. Like you said, Paul is taking the lead on that. Davis Montour has been put in place to pick up the pieces, meet with individuals. He has a social background as well. So, you know, we understand that these people are vulnerable, and we understand that they've been victimized. We want to ensure that right is done. And I can guarantee you that that's what will happen. How deep it is was your question. I honestly don't know. We don't know yet until the conclusion is come to that this is the report. We don't have that at this point.
The gist of the report that aired yesterday and has continued on this morning is that there are these unpaid bills out there, and who is responsible for them? Because people who had been allegedly duped into paying cash, not at the reception at the MCK or through the department there, went directly into housing and paid cash and were issued receipts that had no header on them, meaning no official stamp from the Mohawk Council of Gatnawaga, and were signed allegedly by one of the former employees. I'm just wondering, so those massive bills, in the case, some cases $37,000, some cases $26,510, as we reported this morning, who's on the hook for that money? If not all of those, what I call them, dollar store receipts, can be produced from every single time those payments were made.
Yeah, well, it's part of the investigation. I can't answer that. Paul can't answer that at this point if he was sitting here.
Not sitting here, and that's part of the problem.
Well, I don't believe it's part of the problem because I'm here, and I'm not going to say I know exactly where the investigation is at, but he'd give you the same answer I'm going to give you. We don't know yet, because we know that people have been victimized. We don't know to what degree in each individual case. That's why those letters were sent out. That's why they're asked to contact housing. That's why they want to sit down and talk to them, because they're not all the same. And to say who's on the hook for them, at the end of the day, we'll find out. We don't know at this point. You know, there may be 10 categories. I can't really tell you.
But you can imagine the people's trepidation, their worry. You know, not many of us have $25,000 or $37,000 or $9,000 or even $5,000 lying around to pay these so-called unpaid balances.
Understood. Like I said, that's why they're being urged. That's why those registered letters went out, to come in and talk to housing. It shouldn't be fearful, because everyone needs clarification. That's part of the investigation. I know people don't like to hear that. That's where it's at right now.
Everybody got the same letter. Everybody who has a mortgage, or the letter was the same. Their account statements were attached.
Yeah, the statements are obviously different. Yeah, well, depending on the situation.
They're very much different, and you know, that's obviously something to get into at a later point. But this one is extremely difficult, with you being limited in what you can say here this morning, and Paul Rice being limited in what he can say. You know, we're wondering, because regular practices between discussions between Mohawk Council or any political office and any journalist anywhere is you have discussions. And not all of it is on the record. Not all the time. A lot of it is for background. Sometimes it's just for simple clarification. And as journalists, we haven't been even granted that kind of access until this morning, until you walked in our doors this morning.
But this is on the record, obviously, not only for you, but for community. And as I told you last night, I doubt that's going to happen, given the legal implications, both to the party that's been dismissed, the alleged person who's been not charged yet, but a complaint has been put into the peacekeepers by Mohawk Council of Ganawage, and vice versa. So we need to be very careful. We need to understand all of the situation, not pieces and parts of it, because we don't want to make mistakes. We want this to be corrected, and it will be. So there's not going to be any off-the-record discussion with any officials, because it needs to be official. It needs to be on the record, and we're trying to be as transparent, and we are being as transparent as we can at this point.
I think a lot of people would argue that transparency at this point, though.
Understood. But given, again, the legal implications, people need to understand that. The people who have been victimized, I believe some of them do. Some of them who have come in and spoken to housing at this point understand the ramifications both ways. Nobody's being targeted at this point. There's an ongoing investigation, and that's the best we can give at this point.
You're using the word victimized right now. That's the first we've heard it in the media, in the community, that people have officially, I guess now, if you're speaking on behalf of the council, use the word victimized, and that there are victims from this scandal.
Well, it's been reported everywhere for months now at this point. It's been unofficial probably a little longer than that. I mean, I'm not a constant purveyor of Facebook, but it's everywhere. And again, some of those allegations yesterday pointing inward are incorrect, and even pointing outward. So I'm not going to get into every detail and every comment that was made. But like I said, I'm confident in the steps that are being taken to mitigate and right this situation that was extremely wrong.
The other question is how is it that something like this was able to go on for such a long time?
That's a great question.
I mean, from the proof that we've found, at least 9 years.
We will tell you when the report comes in. Like I said, there will be transparency to community, because we're as dumbfounded. I'll speak on my behalf as a person at this point. Before election, before I got back in, before I knew what was happening, it's dumbfounding. You know, it's devastating. But it's going to be righted. I guarantee that, based on what I've heard, based on the steps that are being taken.
So, all right, I want to get back to these receipts again, because, you know, people have kept some of those unofficial, if we can call them that, receipts. They don't have all of them. I mean, in a lot of cases, it's people who were struggling to make the payments month to month.
Obviously.
And that's how this was allegedly exploited. So I'm wondering now, what happens if you can't produce all those receipts? Whose word is it against whose? Is it the alleged victim against the MCK because there's no now physical proof even that some of these payments were made?
Like I said, no, and that's obvious. I mean, that's been discussed as well, and that's been part of the update to council. But again, I can't go into any level of detail. I can only urge people to take that letter and contact the housing department. Every situation is different. We're not pointing fingers at this point. We want clarity. We want to understand from the person's perspective what happened, because every instance, again, is different.
I'm imagining a forensic accounting has taken place.
There's going to be a release, I think more than one release today, if not during the rest of the week, giving a little bit more detail in terms of some of those steps I'm talking about and in terms of confidence. So yes, there have been people externally brought in to look at what's happening here. But again, it's going to be released over the course of the next 24, 48, 72 hours to community. We've asked that as much information be released to community via press release and or other means as often as possible to ensure that community understands that it's an ongoing process. This thing isn't being swept under the rug. It's never going to be forgotten. It's a major issue, and it is being dealt with.
How much money are we talking about here over the years? Do you even have a ballpark of how much was missing from the books? Was it 100,000? Is it 1 million? Is it more than that?
I don't. It was not part of update. It's part of the ongoing investigation. I don't, honestly.
And what do you say to the people who are sitting at home right now saying, I don't know what's going to happen with this money? I know I paid it. I may not have those receipts, but I know I paid it.
I would say, given the people that are in place now, go and talk to them. Bring what you have, get the information, and let's try and figure this out, because I think that's what was said within the letter. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, in a 2-page letter, but we want to know your situation, because we don't. We just don't. And again, it's part of that ongoing investigation. It's a huge trust factor. We understand that. We've lost certain elements of trust within the community as the Mohawk Council of Ganawage. We're working to rebuild that. It's going to be a long process.
How is it, you know, and so many people are dumbfounded and have come to us and said, how is it that so much money could be written off the books and nobody notices? Accounting firms don't even seem to notice. I mean, how is that possible that something this big can happen and for so long?
It is possible, obviously. I mean, with a little bit of banking background, working for Bank of Montreal in the past, I remember a MasterCard scandal where somebody skimmed pennies off, you know, in head office in Toronto, and was found out years later to the tune of millions of dollars, and obviously was fired and so on. So it happens at a larger scale. Maybe it's easier. I don't know. This is at a community scale, which is extremely difficult to swallow, but it's obviously happened. Again, as the investigation unfolds and we find out, we'll know. And like I said, there will be full transparency at the end of the day.
The accounting firm that was around throughout all this, at least going back 9 years, are they still working for the Mohawk Council of Ganawage?
Yes.
Are they conducting this investigation?
No. It has to be independent for obvious reasons.
Okay. I think that's it, Mike. This is obviously... this is obviously a very complicated issue, and I do appreciate you coming in this morning, because it's finally time that somebody spoke.
I don't disagree, and we understand the complexity of this because it's extremely complex. We understand the human element of this because people, like you said, are sitting back home, full of stress. I've paid my bills. I've done the right thing. I trusted people, the system, and so on, and it failed them. We're going to correct it. But what we'll say to community and media, be fair, have patience, and let us do the job that's necessary. It's a long-standing trust issue that's going to have to be rebuilt. We understand that. We just want proper information, and you can't say exactness, but at least accuracy. That's all we're asking for.
So the MCK, in other words, needs to be more forthcoming.
And media needs to be more accurate.
We'll leave it on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Mike DeLille, Well, Council of Gatawage Chief joining us this morning on K103.7.